Matt Maurer is in our studios, GMI Studios. Thanks for coming by. And he's now officially, as of yesterday, filed as a Republican in the 1st Congressional District race. Matt, thanks for being here.
Jack, thanks so much for having me, especially after the ink is now dried. It's official. We're in this race, and we're going to win this one.
All right. Let me ask you this. We had the Democrat candidate who's running for governor on earlier, and he's filing today or filed by now, Dr. Tom Sherman, a state senator. I asked him, what's the number one issue in your mind facing New Hampshire voters today and going forward? If I ask you this again, what's the number one issue?
It's the crazy out-of-control inflation that we're seeing. And what all the things that are driving that, right? Whether it's the socialist spending spree in D.C., whether it's the, you know, shutdown of American energy production here, which is driving gas prices to over $5 a gallon, which, you know, contributes to inflation. Everything has to be transported, you know, whether it's on truck or what have you. That is the issue that is confronting everyone. And you see the impact of that in so many other things, whether it's the increased cost of groceries, whether it's whether you can even find certain things, right? Restaurants now have to take menu items off because, you know, the cost of chicken wings are too high and things like that. That is the number one issue. Until we have leaders in D.C. who get serious about this or willing to put out plans in order to tackle it, it's going to be the number one issue that confronts everyone.
Do you think, Matt Maurer, that the Biden White House president, latest word, is going to visit, go travel to Saudi Arabia to try and get them to produce more in July and August to increase supply?
Yeah, he's doing it 2 years too late almost, though,
Jack. But here's my question. Yeah. Do you think some people in the Biden White House want people to pay $5 or $6 a gallon in gas? Or why aren't they meeting with U.S. producers? Why are they going to Saudi Arabia and OPEC? Why not meet with U.S. energy companies?
Well, because the Biden administration and Chris Pappas and Nancy Pelosi, all of them in D.C., right? Because it's all the same groupthink these days. There's no independent thought in the Democratic Party in D.C. anymore. They want to shut down American energy production. I know it because Pappas basically said that in a debate with me 2 years ago. I mean, it's incredible. I think he said to you the other day he now wants tax breaks for oil companies to produce more. 2 years ago, he was totally against all that and wanted to shut down energy production. So what they're trying to do is move America in a totally different direction. Now, look, I have no problem with the increased use of solar and wind and other geothermal and honestly increasing nuclear and a number of other types of energy. We have to. But to say that the way to do that is to hurt the middle class by driving up the cost of gas so they choose to shift, it's not just wrongheaded, it's cruel. I mean, Jack, I live up in Guilford. There was a family in Laconia in February that had to post a GoFundMe page because they couldn't afford their home heating oil for 2 weeks. They had six kids. Children. They said they were sitting around in a living room with space heaters because they couldn't afford the cost of home heating oil. Those are the people who are being hurt by Chris Pappas and Joe Biden when they do these things. And it's really just leaving middle-class families like them behind.
Now, Russ Prescott, I haven't seen or talked with him in years. I remember him from the state legislature many years as a state lawmaker jumping into this race as a Republican, kind of late, but, you know, before the filing. Are you surprised Mr. Prescott's jumped into the race? There's already several others. Are you surprised he's running, or what's your reaction?
No, look, I think it shows that there's an energy out there. A lot of dissatisfaction with what's happening in D.C. You also see a lot of people in the Republican Party obviously feel like the American people are ready for a change, so they want to step up, and, you know, God bless them, the more the merrier. I know what it takes to go through that decision to decide to run. The impact it has on you and your family, it's not easy. So I give anyone of any political ideologies credit for stepping up to the plate.
Do you think the Supreme Court will overturn Roe versus Wade?
We'll see, right? I mean, I think we'll know probably in the next few weeks what the outcome of that is. I will tell you, what we're seeing in the run-up to that, though, is really disturbing. I don't know if you saw it. Literally, as I was walking in, I got the article
that
Brett Kavanaugh had a guy with a gun threatening his life out front of his house.
I mean, a knife, yeah.
Yeah, or was it a knife? Yeah, I literally was reading it as I was walking
into
the studio.
It's scary stuff. It's scary.
Yeah, and that type of discourse has no place.
Right.
I mean, we have to, whether it's policymakers who are elected, whether it's judges, we have an ability to share our disapproval on issues, and that's at the ballot box. We got to change the discourse here. You can't be threatening Supreme Court justices' lives or politicians' lives like that. It's just wrong.
You're listening to Matt Maurer, Republican 1st Congressional District candidate. Do you think, now, you were the nominee 2 years ago in the same race you mentioned with Chris Pappas. You mentioned, referenced a debate earlier. And I believe you, you know, President Trump has endorsed you before. Kevin Landrigan, regular contributor on Friday's New Hampshire Union Leader, said this past week, I believe, Kevin said that he thought that if the former president, because he's making a ton of endorsements everywhere, could play a kingmaker role in any primary here, you would think it would be the U.S. Senate. Kevin actually thought it was that House Republican race, that if Trump weighed in at all and made an endorsement here in a crowded primary, it could mean the difference. Do you expect, do you hope to get the Trump endorsement again or not?
I'd welcome his support the same way I did 2 years ago. And but, you know, my focus from day one, and this goes for the last race, actually, Jack, I kicked off my first campaign with you. January 14th in 2020, I think we actually had this similar conversation. I said, you know, as much as I'd welcome his support and, you know, welcome the support of a lot of folks in this race, you know, my focus has always been on just earning the votes of the voters of the first district. And that's what we do, right? I go out every single day, and whether it's, you know, bars and coffee shops or restaurants, and, you know, listen to people, hear what's on their mind, and then earn their respect and trust. And we can see that we're doing that. I mean, and I'm sure what the president would be looking at, too, is who's going to win. And it's very clear we're going to win this primary as well as win this general election and make sure New Hampshire gets its voice back in Washington, D.C. again.
Now, you just got some key endorsements. Some would say kind of the national congressional establishment. What were the endorsements?
So, we were just endorsed by Kevin McCarthy, the House Republican leader, and Steve Scalise, the House Republican whip. And, you know, it's great support. I mean, I'm glad, similarly to like I just said, I'm glad to have it. But what it's a recognition of is that what we're doing here on the ground, Jack. The dozens of state representatives, the hundreds of, actually now thousands of grassroots endorsements that we've had, the five state senators, the endorsement of the Manchester Police Associations, the endorsement of multiple county sheriffs, they're taking notice of what we're doing here in New Hampshire. And that's why they're weighing in on this race, doing it so early and bringing, you know, sure, great support to us. But it's because of the work and the support we're getting here on the ground.
Matt Myers, before I let you go, Republican first congressional district candidate. And, of course, this is one of the heated races coming up in the midterms. We just had Representative Chris Pappas on the show, I think, J-Dog and Corey, what, 2 days ago? When he made official. So my question is, I can't remember. I do remember Gail Huff on the show when this happened a number of weeks or months ago. And I don't know where it came from because I don't think these things fall out of thin air. And I don't think the media dug it up. But there was a question of, if you voted more than once in the presidential primary here and I think later in another state during the 2016 cycle, you addressed it on this show saying you did nothing out of the ordinary based on where you're moving and living. And this New Hampshire Attorney General's office, I think, weighed in and kind of concurred. Is that issue no longer an issue at all? Was it ever an issue? Do you think your opponents would bring it up again? Where is that gone by the wayside? Is that a concern or not?
Yeah, you know, this is the first time I've actually been asked about in probably a month and a half. And that tells you, I think, where folks are on this. You know, we came out immediately when, and this is how it works in politics, Jack. You and I have been around a long time. When you're mm-hmm. leading in the polls, people will try to kick up dust in order to try to have some of it land on you. That's what one of our opponents did. Hillary Clinton piled up on it as well. But, you know, like you said, Attorney General said the matter's closed. And I haven't heard about it in weeks, and voters don't care. Folks are focused about the fact that we need someone down there who's going to, you know, make sure that gas isn't $5 a gallon, make sure that there's baby formula on shelves, and make sure that we're actually getting serious about the southern border, by the way, because we're all seeing the drugs that come across it that then poison our communities. So those are the issues right. folks are focused on.
Do you think, you mentioned Representative Pappas a moment or two ago here in my interview the other day, talking about American energy companies. And one of the questions I asked the representative, because it doesn't make much sense to me, Matt Myers, the Biden administration last Wednesday, June 1st, a week ago today, met with the producers of baby formula in Washington at the White House to kind of boost supply, to kind of make sure that crisis would get averted. But months ago, they knew about it. The Biden administration doesn't seem to have any interest at all to meet in Washington with the leaders of American oil and gas companies, American jobs, American oil. We had a CEO on yesterday of one of the largest oil refinery players in the country saying there's more in Western Pennsylvania we can produce, more in the Dakotas, more in the federal lands if they adjusted that levy. And the Biden administration doesn't even seem to want to meet with American oil producers. And I asked Representative Pappas if he thought the Biden administration should meet with oil producers and gas producers here to get more. And he essentially said yes. He cited his private sector background. He thought that would be a good thing. Do you think Chris Pappas is kind of doing a 180 on some of these issues to appeal going into the midterms, knowing that gas prices are a big, oil and gas prices are a big issue? Are you saying he's hypocritical, or has he always been kind of supportive of more oil and gas from American companies?
Chris Pappas is a total politician. right? Like, that's who he is. And so it's an election year. $5 a gallon gas right now, that's crushing middle-class families. And so he's singing a different tune than he did, you know, a year and a half ago or 2 years ago. I mean, we ran against each other, right, 2 years ago. And Chris Pappas wanted to shut down American energy production. He wanted to shift everyone towards, you know, a bunch of solar panels that are being made in China instead of here in the United States. And that's where he was on these issues and where he has been his entire career. You know, this is a guy who was excited that Joe Biden killed the Keystone XL pipeline on his first day. That's, by the way, an executive order I worked on to approve in the early days of 2017 when I served as senior White House advisor at the State Department. The first executive order I worked on was to approve Keystone XL pipeline. So, you know, look, Chris Pappas is going to say a lot of things that aren't true in the next, you know, 5 months to reinvent his record because he knows that the American people and the people of New Hampshire have turned on him. And they're living the consequences of the disastrous decisions of him and Joe Biden every day.
Do you think there'll be a wave against Democrats in New Hampshire in the midterms or not? Independent voters decide elections here. You know that.
Yep.
I imagine you'll get your fair support of Republican voters and maybe some independents. But independent voters decide elections. If the Supreme Court overturns Roe versus Wade, that will galvanize many. Maybe gun control will be an emotional issue for many. But inflation, gas prices, do you think there's going to be, because of the economy and inflation and gas prices, do you think there's going to be a wave here against Democrat incumbents or not?
Yeah, because it doesn't matter what party you are. You know, Democrats have to go fill up their gas tank and go to the grocery store just as much as Republicans. And everyone is living it right now, whether it's the fact that you can't find baby formula on the shelves, the fact that you know, you're paying $5 a gallon for gas. I mean, this impacts everyone equally, and people are fed up with D.C. It's not even just Democrats. People are fed up with D.C., you know, there's no one bringing about actual solutions. There's no one who's saying, how do we actually curb inflation by redomesticating production and moving it back to the United States? How do we make sure that we have an America First energy policy, which is allowing us to produce all energy above across the board here in the United States, whether it is more drilling, but also more production? You know, we have tax credits right now, Jack, that actually subsidize Chinese solar manufacturers, because it's giving people tax credits to go buy solar panels which are made in China. This is boneheaded and backwards. And just, you know, no one's talking about these issues. So folks are ready for a change. I'm confident they're ready for people who are going to bring new leadership down to Washington, D.C. And that's why we've had Democrats, independents, and Republicans reaching out to support our campaign.
Matt Maurer, First District Republican congressional candidate, Republican First District congressional race. Thanks for joining us, GMI Studios. We'll catch you again soon.
Thanks so much, Jack. Have a great day.